cash cows can get loans.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Investment banking may be on life support, but it isn't dead. This morning, two drug companies announced a gigantic deal, partially financed by the bailed-out banks. Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Bank of America all pitched in to help Pfizer strike a deal to buy Wyeth. Pfizer makes the cholesterol drug Lipitor. Wyeth makes the antidepressant Effexor. Both drugs will lose their patents in the next couple years, but until then, they'll keep raking in lots of money. So, what does this deal tell us about the bank's lending situation? Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Pfizer's buying Wyeth for more than $68 billion. It's paying more than $50 a share for the company, a big premium over what Wyeth was trading for just last week. To pay for its purchase, Pfizer's borrowing more than $22 billion, and it's offering Wyeth shareholders a mix of cash and its own stock. Hugh Johnson, chief economist at Johnson Illington Advisors, says this deal could indicate credit markets are thawing.
I think it's always a good sign when someone can borrow $22 billion, but let's not forget that it's Pfizer that's borrowing $22 billion.
Other businesses may not have it so easy.
It's the small to mid-sized, let's call them marginal companies. That's where the problem is.
When it's completed, Pfizer's purchase of Wyeth will be the biggest drug industry buyout in more than a decade. The combined company would have 17 blockbuster drugs each, bringing in more than $1 billion a year. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
The Pfizer deal is Wall Street's glass half-full item this morning. The half-empty one is Caterpillar. The equipment maker announced 17,000 layoffs. Profits fell 32%. The company used the term whipsawed to describe the last quarter. On balance, stocks are up just a bit. The Dow has gained 42 points to 8120. The NASDAQ is up 18. The S&P 500 has added 10. European shares are up about 2% so far. In Japan, the Nikkei fell 1%. Other markets in Asia were closed today. Netflix announces fourth quarter profits today, and they're expected to beat Wall Street's estimates. Rico Galliano tells us why Netflix is doing so well.
The jargon term for it is trade down. That's when people forego one pricey item for something similar that costs less. And in this economy, many consumers seem to be trading down from a $30 night at the movies to $8.99 a month for Netflix. Jason Avilio is an internet analyst with Kaufman Brothers.
So in an economic environment where people are looking to penny pinch, Netflix's value is a strong one.
But competition looms. This month, Blockbuster announced it'll expand its digital business, eventually streaming movies to computers and other devices just like Netflix. And Avilio says a strong fourth quarter doesn't make Netflix recession-proof, especially since it lowered expectations last quarter.
At the end of the third quarter, they announced they were not going to hit their subscriber growth goals, and now they're beating recently reduced fourth quarter goals.
Netflix won't comment on earnings numbers until after its official announcement tonight, but you can bet struggling media companies will analyze that data to see if the company's success is the kind that can last. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thriven.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Here's a question. Would the government bail out a media company? Just asking, because there are plenty of them in trouble. Last week, the New York Times said it was in talks to sell part of its building, and the Times got a $250 million check from Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim. That money won't come cheap, but the Times does have some good tax attorneys.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine has been snooping around the deal, and he says the Times has avoided the Hido tax rules. All right, Alan, you're going to have to explain that one.
Everybody must know that, Scott. It stands for high yield discount obligation. I mean, don't they teach you that in elementary school?
It sounds like an elementary school game of some sort. Hi-do. All right. No, really, what is it?
What it is a high yield, which means junk in English, a high yield security that is issued at a discount from face value. If you have one of these, the Internal Revenue Service puts sharp limits on how much of the interest you're paying you can deduct.
Okay, so how does that benefit the New York Times?
The New York Times is paying something more than 15% a year to the Carlos Slim companies for money. Normally, only about half of that interest would be tax deductible. But because the New York Times has figured out how to get around the HIDO rules, it can deduct all of the interest, and it makes a difference to the Times of something on the order to $6 million or $7 million a year that it keeps rather than sending to the Internal Revenue Service and various state and local things.
And this is what you might call a legal loophole?
Yeah, because the HIDO concept was created to close a loophole. So this is a counter thing. It's like an anti-missile missile.
Oh, really?
They're doing something to make sure that the loophole closer doesn't affect them. I have no problem with them doing this. I just felt there's a kind of thing people should know, and I just find it enormously interesting because it's an example of how hard it is to really close a loophole when you have competent tax attorneys working for the people looking to use the loophole.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thank you.
You're welcome, Scott.
Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. This final note, apparently in a recession, dead people donate more money than the living. The Chronicle of Philanthropy says most of the 10 biggest donations from last year were made from estates. The year before, all of the top 10 gifts were made by people still alive. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.